You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of November 13th, 2019, and this week we talk about a century's worth of games.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name is Scott Chester.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorous conversation about video games. God, I'm just so excited today. It's making my tongue slip.
The time gel is really getting, stuck in your mouth.
We are at the rare point in time where, because this comes but once a decade, where we can reflect on the last decade of anything. Games, TV, movies.
My complete and utter failure to accomplish anything of note.
Yes, exactly right. We are talking about, I'm right there with you, friend, a couple of articles. One, Polygon tries to do this. We're actually mostly going to be using The Guardians, but there are two lists. The first one was the 100 best games of the past decade. The other is the 50 best games of the 21st century. The last 20
really
years.
Like the title of that.
Feels a little arbitrary of both the year and the number 50. I guess 100 does too, though.
I mean, it's all whatever numbers seem nice to our human brains. But the thing that I like about the 21st century is, one, it will never not sound like the future to me.
The 21st century!
The 21st century. Yeah. Wasn't it just this year or something that we passed the Blade Runner year?
I think it was very recently, or maybe it was.
Yeah.
When did we pass Terminator Judgment Day?
I think that was also pretty recent. I mean, and just a lot of
things.
That's
when Trump got elected. Hey, topical.
Oh, man. If only we were facing the Terminators. We know how to deal with that.
That's true. We know how to deal with them. Arnold.
I think the hilarious part about the 21st century thing is that it reframes in my mind, because usually in my head, I usually go by either decades or rough technology cycles.
For what?
For video game history.
Oh, when you're sitting at work, you're on the toilet, and you're like, man.
Toilet? Come on, that's where I do my best thinking. When I'm sitting at work, I'm on a conference call.
It's been a long time. We've been making games for a while. How many video games are there? A million?
Yeah, that was the pre-roll that no one will ever hear, is our estimation of how many total video games exist. But I mean, I think about it in terms of, like, when I think about video game history, I think about technology eras.
Yeah.
Where, okay, this was the era where 3D games really took off.
Yeah.
Roughly the mid-90s to the early 2000s. Or this was the era of the Nintendo Entertainment System. Or this was the Atari era or something.
Yeah.
I don't think about it in terms of something bigger than a set of 10 years, which I think is why I'm so amused by this time frame.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in my mind, everything was plus or minus 10 years ago or 10 years from now. Like, that's just my, like, for some reason.
That's your internal
My internal clock says 2000 was 10 years ago, and I still remember Y2K and being scared that the world was going to end.
But, I mean, I think the funny thing about saying, here's our 50 best games of the 21st century is that you have something like Super Smash Bros. Melee sitting next to The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
Where I just don't think about those games as inhabiting the same chronological space. But then when you expand the time frame, it's like, oh, okay. Like, those games were less than 20 years apart in an era that they were still both being actively played. It's just an interesting way to reframe how games relate to each other.
I mean, not to go on a crazy tangent about the scale and passage of time and our slow march towards impending death, but it's interesting to me that you and I, we've been doing this podcast for like a decade at this point.
Yeah, more.
We have been playing video games since we were kids, in the early days still of video games as a whole. I mean, unless you go way back. And we've been we've been paying attention to them long enough and playing them long enough that the scale, like the ebb and flow, is now, frankly, like weirdly grand, you know? Like, Polygon had an article about the 2010s and the era of like online games. But like, you know, we come from an era where being online was not an option, you know? Like, before high-speed internet, we were still playing dial-up games, you know, if we had any online functionality at all. But even within the past decade, we've seen MOBAs be the shit and then fade away over the past, you know, 20 years. We've seen, you know, MMOs do the same. We've seen the birth of Battle Royale. We've seen mobile games being the hot shit and fade away. Motion controls, you know, VR potentially, TBD.
Like, someday.
We've just seen a lot of, like, long stretches where now when we are put in this scenario where we're looking at the past 20 years of video games, you have, in my mind, large chunks of time that are almost like comparing, like, let's compare the, you know, the Lost Generation with, like, I don't know, fucking the conquest of Australia or something, you know? Like, it's just the time difference is so vast that they seem incomparable.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why this, even though it's a funny title, the 20 years thing is, it's still within the realm of, oh, these were happening at a very similar time.
Yep.
Every once in a while, you know, it's always funny when you are thinking about history and you're linking up, oh, this, you know, these people were fighting a civil war at the very same time that these people were building pyramids, but I never think about them in terms of the same year or the same, like, basic, you know, couple decades, you know? And so, and I think that's why it's so, why it's funny to think about those games in the context of, and relating to each other.
It's like when you learn in school how absolutely vast the Roman Empire was. Like, man, they went real far. Okay, where do we start on a list like this?
I think, I think there are some, for me, and this is the Guardians list that we're looking at.
Yep.
There are some standouts that are kind of, you could not have this list without these games. I think Journey is one of those where it's one of those tent poles, both of artistry, but also an approach to multiplayer that at that point was not at all mainstream and was bringing something into the mainstream. Yep. And we still see the echoes of what that game did. Like, it's a very obvious choice.
In games but like Death Stranding.
Correction. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, you could call Journey the proto Strand game. I mean, I think they are obvious, but, They're obvious choices, but also well worth a spot on a list like that.
Yep. Yeah. I also, we were talking a little bit beforehand as well, but there is a desire, and I think it's reflected in a lot of these lists, both this one and the Polygon's top 100, of choosing games that aren't necessarily the best because they're the most enjoyable or hold up today, but are the most influential of that time period. And I think uniquely for The Guardian, when you're looking at a scale this long, you do have the benefit of history to see, well, how exactly influential was that, you know? Like, some of the games on their list came out relatively recently, right? Like, number 12 is Metal Gear Solid 5 The Phantom Pain, which came out in 2015. Then two numbers up, number 17, they have The Sims, right? We have the benefit the benefit of hindsight to look at The Sims and go, actually, that was hugely influential, you know, in bringing in a lot of people into the game space that was not otherwise, didn't otherwise do that. I don't necessarily know if we'll be looking at Metal Gear Solid 5 The Phantom Pain the same way 20 years from now.
Well, and also, I'll just to point it out, you are looking at this list as influential games, and they are much more, you know, the list makers are much more, these are the best video games, which is, it gives you an out because you can just say, oh, these were my favorite, or these were my personal most such enjoyable, even if they weren't influential.
I just feel like it's such a futile effort when you're talking about a time span that long. Like, even my own personal tastes have changed dramatically, you know?
The thing that sticks out to me as well is, you have, you know, number 50 is SingStar, but Rock Band is not on this.
Yeah, fucking, that's just straight up wrong, Scott. I mean, I was literally...
I'm going to tell people some opinions
here. I was doing karaoke last weekend, and we were talking about Rock Band and how we missed those days, you know? Yeah.
I think you could maybe justify it by saying, oh, you know what? Here we go. I missed it. They put Guitar Hero on. But I guess you could argue that Guitar Hero was the thing that kicked this off or whatever. But
yeah.
In that case, how could you justify SingStar if you already put Guitar Hero / Rock Band
on
a list like that?
Isn't that the most emblematic of its playstyle? Right. Yeah.
And I would say SingStar grew out of that thing anyway. And it was also supplanted by whatever people were doing in Rock Band.
Yeah. What about Donkey Konga with the drums or whatever?
Yeah, well, any of the plastic peripherals. What about Tony Hawk's Pro Ride?
Yeah, dude.
That's
a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Well, and there are some where I don't think about these games a lot, like Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, I think about Left 4 Dead a lot.
But Left 4 Dead was so...
Yeah, but okay, Scott, okay Boomer is like a new meme. How do you not think about Left 4 Dead?
I actually do think about that because Left 4 Dead was so popular, but it seemed like it burned really bright really fast and then has not stuck around.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't influential. Or I mean, you could argue that some of its some of the ways that you can ping or some of the character barks actually made their way into games, later games, whether like Apex Legends, for example.
Yeah.
You know, some of that kind of latent communication seems like it actually has spread out, even if the games haven't continued.
Yeah. You know, interestingly, though, like quickly looking at this list. Oh, Cousin McDonald worked on this. She's great. SingStar might be the only game I don't think about. and Forza Horizon. But like, you know, Burnout 3, like a lot of these games actually, you know,
why not Burnout Paradise?
Yeah, that's a win. I think about that one more. I actually often think of what's the game where it's like cops and robbers? Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. I think about that game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're the only one that thinks about that.
I had a lot of really good memories with that. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you and I play a lot of games every year. Not as much as we want to, I'm sure, but we play a lot of them. But I feel like you and I often fall back on like the same examples that it's become a meme on the show, right? Like we joke about how often we talk about Earthbound,
Dark Souls,
or although I think Dark Souls earns it, so come at me. so fuck you. And Chrono Trigger, right? There are often games that we don't necessarily call back to, but nevertheless, I still think about when I think about those genres, you know, like Eco Shadow of the Colossus, maybe those are bad examples, but like number 33, Battlefield 1942, I think about all the time. In my mind, when I think about large-scale combat, that game is the one that I default to. There have been numerous Battlefields since. Call of Duty has done large-scale battles. Star Wars Battlefront has done large-scale battles. But 1942 is still, in my mind, the pinnacle of that experience for my personal play experience, you know?
And on the note of military shooters, I don't reference it all that often, but Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare fundamentally changed the way that pretty much all games work.
Yeah.
Just by putting experience meters on things that historically did not have experience meters on it, it basically turned every single game into a progression-based role-playing game.
Yep. Yeah.
And it wasn't even an RPG, which was even the crazier thing.
It fucking is now, Scott.
I mean, everything. My scope has an experience meter now. So, like, even though I don't really reference it, I do think about that game a lot because of just how influential it was mechanically to pretty much every single other genre that exists.
I think it's an interesting exercise to think about games in this context when you're forced to think of comparisons, right? Like this week, today specifically, to no one's surprise, people have asked me, what do you think of Death Stranding? What is it like, right?
Yeah.
That is an especially difficult question to answer with something like Death Stranding, but I think whenever you're asked, like, what is a game like, or what is the type of play experience that this game evokes, you often want to go back to two things. One, the game that to you is the most similar based upon your own personal play experiences, but two, also something that is a common reference point. So when you think about co-op shooters, right, Left 4 Dead is a pinnacle of that, in the same way that Team Fortress 2, it was and I think continues to be a iconic class-based shooter. Maybe that's been replaced with Overwatch, but these are our reference points when you ask someone what a game is like and it has class-based shooter elements, you know?
Yeah.
And I think if you looked at this list of like the top 50 games, a lot of these would be on really anyone who plays a lot of video games on any of their lists when it comes to what is that iconic reference point of a game that came out in the last 20 years that was both good and impactful.
Yeah. I still think there is a bias on this list specifically towards games that were maybe more like fully featured or polished versus influential.
Yeah.
Overwatch is a good example. Team Fortress 2 isn't on the list, but Overwatch is.
Yeah.
And I think that Team Fortress, you know, without Team Fortress 2, it's dubious that Overwatch would be the thing that it is today.
Oh, 100%. No way.
And so it's like, okay, well, this is the best game. So like, so measuring the best game as well, I'm going to define the best game as the most mechanically complete, mature, polished thing, which is Overwatch versus the thing that probably made Overwatch exist. And so, but I mean, I think both of us are if clearly these were good coming games, down Scott, on the side of,
why is The Witcher 3 on here?
But I mean, so on this list are multiple Rockstar games.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, come on, man, what's going on here? I think that, and again, we're approaching the list from a historical significance and import versus I just really liked GTA 4 and Red Dead Redemption 2, even though they're very, very similar games.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a very difficult task for the people working on this.
Like Grand Theft Auto 4, 5, and Red Dead Redemption.
Well, I mean, let's talk about Red Dead Redemption.
And like, I would argue that Grand Theft Auto 3 is more important than all of them.
And I would argue Red Dead Redemption 1 is more important than
right.
Red Dead Redemption 2 and a better game, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the crazy thing where it's like, so Red Dead 1 is just objectively a better game in our eyes than any of those other games.
I mean, and I think this is where the sort of generation gap you were calling out is kind of an interesting thought exercise, because Red Dead Redemption, the time between Red Dead Redemption 1 and Red Dead Redemption 2 was so long, you know?
Yeah.
And it feels, and this was one of the criticisms levied against Red Dead 2, but it feels like a game from a bygone era, in that I think when you're thinking about, well, which of these two, well, we know one of these games has to be on the list. Which do we put up? Red Dead Redemption 2 feels more important or impactful in a way, because the context in the time that it came out was such that it feels so different and unique and new, because it is new for one, and two, it's just up against other games that don't offer experiences like that anymore.
But I mean, should it though? I mean, I wish it just felt so much better at the time and place when it first came out. It's I don't know. That's a tough. Yeah. That's a tough sell.
But even something like Minecraft, though, like Minecraft didn't launch with all of the features that it has today, right? Like it just.
Yeah.
It feels like and Minecraft is number one on this Guardian list, and it's number one on the Polygon list, and I mean, I know it's a futile effort, and we're like getting too much in the weeds, but I would really challenge anybody to. I feel like this is going to get back at me. Someone's going to write me a strongly worded email. I challenge anyone to really make a sound argument that Minecraft is one of the best games of the past 50, you know, 20 years or whatever, or 10 years, right? It feels like Minecraft is a story that we tell now about games, about how games came from the bottom and rose to the top, right? Like Minecraft.
Minecraft is our own personal Drake.
Look, no, my point is, like, you know, Minecraft is a blocky game that looks silly, and it took the world by storm, you know? It's an independent game story where, you know, a fucking bigoted asshole,
terrible person,
terrible human being
made a game.
Made it rich, right? But, I mean, in certainly at its peak, right, before we knew that Notch was a total douchebag, it was a story of someone who worked alone on a game and made something great, you know?
Right.
It is emblematic of a new generation of gamers who came in playing Minecraft because it was widely accessible and hugely popular in a very young demographic. A lot of the same demographic that is now playing Fortnite and has huge purchasing power, you know? So Minecraft fits these stories we tell about how games have changed since 2009. I don't necessarily know if it, you know, I don't know if I would put it number one, you know? I don't necessarily know if it earns it in terms of the actual quality of it, or certainly when it came out, or if it is even something that holds up. Like, is that still something? I mean, certainly for that age demographic, but I don't know.
I'll say
it's hard to remove Minecraft from the bucket or the baggage that surrounds it.
Yes, and I think that's kind of where I'm coming to a same conclusion, but just from a different path that you are, where it's kind of like we were joking last week where Breath of the Wild just kind of ruined everything because it's just so different from what is out there. It's hard to even compare it. Whereas Minecraft, I mean, in a weird way, Minecraft has become more of a video game over time because, in the traditional sense, because they've added in quests and there's now a story mode and there's just more traditional things in there. But I would be more willing to call Minecraft the toy of the century.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's actually...
You know, it's bigger than a game, you know?
Well, I mean, and I've had amazing experiences in Minecraft. Some of the best I've had in my life. You know, I remember collectively working with a group of 50 people to rebuild at scale fucking Middle Earth, you know, like
right. Yeah,
I've been in like RPG servers. I've had like crazy multiplayer experiences where I journeyed through the center of the earth. Like, I've had great experiences in Minecraft, absolutely. But I think you're right. I think that's probably a better way to read its placement in the games of the past 20 years.
And it's hard to separate it out from this happened in the right place at the right time, where it happened right alongside the rise of YouTube, right alongside the rise of easily consumer-focused recording and broadcasting of games. You know, it had a lot of things going for it just as an accident of history. You can't really separate it from that stuff, but itself, that is not part of the game, like, in a self-contained way, the way that the relationship building in Eco is part of that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's more society wrapped up in Minecraft just inherently than there are in some of these other games that are more so just black boxes.
Yeah. As someone that has, you know, experience being a historian, if you will, at what point,
professional historian,
at what point do you, like, I'm firmly in the camp that creating a list like this is a futile effort. You're better off writing like my personal favorite list or most impactful or fucking most economically successful, and then you don't have to there's no argument. But at what point, like, do you talk about these games from a perspective of, like, it's been so long since it came out, like something like The Sims, right, that we kind of lose the ability to really talk about it as a game anymore, and you kind of have to talk about it from a historical perspective. Like, you can't extricate that from the time and the place, right? Like, I think calling out Minecraft coming out in the same era where people are beginning to build careers on YouTube, I think is a fascinating one. Or what gaming on the internet is shaping out to be is in that same era, and Minecraft literally built careers in the same way that Fortnite literally built careers. You know, surely we kind of have to take that same approach for a lot of these, right? Like something like The Sims or Silent Hill 2, you know, like some of the games that are in genres that aren't heavily represented here, or even the racing games, you know, or Wii Sports, right? Like the Wii games and motion games, right? Where like playing games with motion controls has come and gone functionally, you know? I don't think you can really look at something like Wii Bowling, which a lot of people loved and played on the Wii U or the Wii. I don't think you can call that one of the best games of the past 20 years, but it feels like you're missing something if you don't reflect that over the past 20 years, because historically speaking, it is so foundational.
I mean, I think this is why, you know, from both of us having spent a fair amount of time in the academy,
Hogwarts.
This is why people... actually, DeVry Institute, but whatever. this is why academics get so specific in their disciplines. This is why people's PhD thesis
is on the span of
6 months. Yeah, you know, like for I mean, even us, like even when I was studying in school, I, even in graduate school, I would write entire like 100-page papers about the span of a few months, you know.
Right.
So it's just part of it is just you get more and more specific as you layer on nuance after nuance after nuance. But then every once in a while you have an academic, they're very rare, but I mean, it's kind of like Ian Bogost or someone that can walk between two worlds of making a mass appeal or at least a provocative article. And to be provocative, you basically need to simplify an argument, because that's what provokes people to have an opinion. Because if you get super specific, it's actually hard to argue against something that is hyper specific, because you can defend any particular fact pretty easily. It's just that once you start amalgamating those facts and crafting a narrative around it, then all of a sudden you get an interesting conversation.
Right.
And
like if I wrote an article that was like, Wii Sports is the most important game for the geriatric community who grew up in the era of the Wii.
Right, exactly. In the year 2007, Wii Sports was the best non-PC game that was in Florida and Coral Gables. And it's like, okay, it's like, it's really hard to argue against that. But the more you start abstracting, the more you start to get room for argument, which sometimes is a good thing because it sharpens people's opinions, and it is good to be able to zoom into those things. But I think there's a lot of those on this list, which is good because it does spark a conversation.
Yeah.
I think there's also just some notable omissions. There's not a single mobile game, as far as I can tell, on this list.
Yeah. Yeah,
very and one true. Of the biggest stories of the 21st century is mobile gaming.
I mean, Pokemon Go, I believe, is number 8 on Polygon's list, which I thought was interesting because it's not even, I mean, as mobile games go, it's not the most widely played type of mobile game, you know?
Where's Candy Crush?
Or what's the Kingdoms?
Oh, any of the King.
Any of the like, King games.
Any of the fill in the blank Rush games, you know, like any of those things.
Yeah.
Or fucking Threes. Where's Threes? I would argue Threes is one of the best games of the 21st century. I play it every day.
What's that fucking game that we loved? Oh, God, Bucket Bonus. I say Bucket Bonus. What is that from?
Peggle.
Peggle, dude. Where's Peggle at?
Yeah.
I love Peggle.
Or but maybe you should just use Peggle 2 instead.
Yeah. I'll take any Peggle. I don't care. Or like, Spider, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. What was the game... They made it many of them. It was like a mystery box game. It was like a puzzle box that you had to like unlock each one, and there was always a box.
The room.
Box. Yeah, the room. Right.
Yep.
Or where's Layton? Any of these? You know, I mean, there's just a lot of.
Yeah, I mean, handheld games generally are missing from this actually.
Which I think is, again, there's always rhetoric behind even the omissions of an argument, and so. That stuff is called out and stokes more argument, which is kind of the whole point of something like this, is to get people thinking.
Also not on this list, but high in Polygon's, League of Legends.
I was going to say that same thing. Where is Dota or League? One of those has to be on this. Like, if you're talking about the 21st century in games, whether it's numerically or culturally or even just as an influence, like MOBAs as an influence for other games, you can't argue that you cannot have a MOBA on this list. It belongs there.
Of their top 10, outside of Minecraft, most of these are playable entirely single player.
Yeah. Which is, again, says something about the way that mainstream gaming continues to be perceived or framed when we're talking about, you know, capital V video games.
Yep. Yeah.
I wonder how much there are some things that I'm interested in whether they stay on a list like this. As much as I love it, God of War 2018 edition. I mean, I love it. It's one of my favorite games of all time. I'd be hard pressed to say it's one of the best games of all time.
Yep. Yeah, or Fortnite, right? Like when this genre comes and goes, you know, like how, is that still going to be up there?
right. The Macarena was also really popular.
Was best it song of the best of the 21st songs of all century. Time? Yeah. Or 20th century, I guess. God, I watched a video of Hillary Clinton doing the Macarena and it really ruined my whole week. all good points, Scott.
Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. I mean, you know, that it squeaks in at in the year 2000. It's another one of those things. Is it influential enough to stay on that list, even though it's a cult classic? Where's Prince of Persia? I mean, Prince of Persia might be up there, right? I mean, there's
but those are those are the like creative dead ends, though. You know, where like maybe that's where you do start. You know, because I imagine when they're putting this list together, they have a collective list of like hundreds of games. You know. And then they just start having to cull them, you know? And at some point when you're weighing what is a very personal list that two people are putting together, it has to start coming in. Okay, well, like, but, you know, you really love this one. I really love this one. But, you know, this is number 51 for you. It's 48 for me. We got to decide, like, how influential was this game? Because that's what's going to be the deal breaker. And maybe that's where something like Prince of Persia or the games that, you know, you and I remember very fondly but didn't feel like they really picked up. You know, fall by the wayside. I mean, even the games that one of the reasons we mention Chrono Trigger all the fucking time is because not enough games copy and steal ideas from Chrono Trigger. You know, it's because it's not because it's hugely influential, which is why I think we talk about Dark Souls and also it's the best game of the 21st century, but because you know, there are a variety of games that we talk about because they're just personally important or we think they should be more influential than maybe they are.
I noticed that there was no... I don't think there's an entry on this list from the year 2003.
That's the dark year, Scott. The dark ages of video games. What came out in 2003?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up on Wikipedia.
I'm going to look that up now. The worst year in video games. You heard it here first.
The dark year. But it makes me think of certain years where there are just kind of legendary years in the video game space. 1998 is kind of a legendary year.
Oversight. From 2003. One, Prince of Persia. Beyond Good and Evil.
There you go.
Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, man. KOTOR.
Yeah. Enter the Matrix. All right. Well, maybe that one. 13. I remember talking to you about that game. I remember talking to you about that game in 2003. Well, maybe it was later. Def Jam Vendetta. Oh, what an oversight. Come on. God. Now I feel
it makes
old
me wonder if we're in one of those years where, I mean, we've talked a lot about 2019, and is there going to be one of those
the forgotten year? Like the only game we remember is Death Stranding?
Who knows? We'll see what withstands the test of time.
I think there's a very good chance that absolutely yes.
Yeah. Cuz we do go through those patches where you have something that you have like 1998 where you have like Metal Gear Solid, Deus Ex, and Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time all come out in the same year. Or you have 2007 when like Portal and Bioshock and a few others all come out. And then you have 2003 where it doesn't make it on the list. You have these little clusters of games that also come out.
Yep. Yeah.
Interesting. If we remember, we should make a
mental checklist in 2020.
We should make a gamey category of game we will most likely reference in next 5 years or something.
That's
like
a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
The call,
starting the gamey category.
Maybe like callback contenders or something.
Yeah. You know? Oh yes, callback. Yeah. 2019 callback contender. Yeah. Okay, I like this.
All right. So of this list, I think you and I should pick what we would rank number one from this list, from this 50, and say it on the count of three. Wait, see if we say the same game.
I need to look at these. We'll never say the same game. There's so many frigging games on this,
list. There's 50 games.
There's 50 games.
Number one.
The best game of the 21st century.
But it has to come from this list. So it's not going to... Spoiler alert, it's not going to be The Witcher... It's not gonna be fucking SingStar.
Okay. This is like choosing your children. This is terrible. Okay, I can say I'll say one though.
Okay, wait. Ready? One, two, three.
Spelunky.
Oh,
there we go.
Yeah, of course. Number 36. Come on.
It's decided. Yeah. is decided until we replace it with Spelunky 2 next year.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Well, I mean, but again, that's a fascinating question to me, right? Like, will Spelunky 2 replace Spelunky as my de facto comparison of, like, the perfect systems-based game?
Yeah. I am secretly terrified of Spelunky 2 because I just... Where do you go once you have a perfect game?
Yep. Yeah.
And even calling it Spelunky just is such a burden.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of what it has to live up to.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, right. It's like a goddess, you know.
Yes. It's like, why would you name your kid that? You know?
Yeah, hello. Why would you name your kid Katniss? She's already perfect.
She'll never
live up to Katniss's reputation. Yeah.
All right, we'll close the book on the first two decades of the 21st century there. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. If you have your favorite game of the 21st century, keep it to yourself. But send us an email with some of your
favorites. If it came out on a Nokia Sidekick, we want to know.
Definitely want to know. Experience Points, we have old podcasts. Come by, give it a listen. We've been at it for a while, so you can pick your favorite.
Choose the best podcast of the 21st century.
Ours.
Yeah, the best podcast episode of our podcast.
Yes, there you go. Ooh, that's a tough one.
All right. Until next time, everyone, thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.